Rose, Chester Clay, Petty Officer First Class, United States Navy. Rosenberry, Orville Albert, Petty Officer Second Class, United States Navy. Ross, Dean Lundy, Petty Officer Second Class, United States Navy.
It wasn't until some time later that it became known the Japanese had launched five two-man submarines. Transported from Japan on five large Japanese subs, the midgets were armed with two torpedoes plus an explosive charge in the bow for suicidal ramming. None accomplished its objective. Two were sunk outside Pearl Harbor, one by the USS Ward, the other by USS St. Louis. Two penetrated the harbor through open submarine nets, but did no damage and were sunk by gunfire from various ships. The fifth couldn't steer properly and beached on the windward side of Oahu, the Marine Air Station evidently its target. The skipper of the defective midget sub became the first Japanese prisoner of war in World War II. All in all, the two-man subs were virtually ineffective, though it seems the Japanese hierarchy had had great hopes for the underwater kamikazes. In the luck of the draw, some ships in the harbor that morning suffered little or no damage. USS Phoenix escaped unharmed, participating in 20 different battle actions, earning 9 battle stars, and credited with destroying 8 kamikazes and a sub. Phoenix lost only one man during the entire war. Understandably enough, she was nicknamed Lucky Phoenix. Others were also fortunate. USS Maryland, inboard from and protected by USS Oklahoma, suffered the least damage of any battleship. And USS Tennessee, likewise protected by USS West Virginia, received minimal damage and was soon repaired. Altogether, of the 46 warships in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 18 were badly damaged, including all 8 battleships. But only 3 were total losses. USS Utah, capsized in the first minutes of the attack, was left at her moorings with her dead entombed. USS Oklahoma, also capsized, was later floated but sank at sea while being towed to California. The third was the USS Arizona.
I'm Russ Lott, now living in Fort Dodge, Iowa, where I enlisted the Navy in January 1938. 7 December 1941 started just like any other day. Reveille, chow, and I was standing on the boat deck near the incinerator with a small group of 6th Division seamen waiting for colors when one fellow said, "Hey, look at the planes." There they were in a long column in a shallow dive approaching from a northeasterly direction and flying at an angle to Battleship Row. When the lead plane pulled up near the air station hangars on Ford Island, we saw our first bomb hit. One more quick look, we could see they were Japanese. I turned immediately and headed for my battle station, which was in the port and aircraft director. Others were arriving right behind me, and we were manned when we got our first hit, which I believe was a torpedo. The next hit, I remember, was from a dive bomber coming from the direction of the Navy Yard. This is the one I could watch from release through most of its flight. It landed on our boat deck between number 4 and 6 5-inch anti-aircraft weapons. Then came the big explosion. I didn't know that our Ford magazines had blown out, but thought that the director had snapped from the top of the column and was falling free. All I could do was wrap around the rangefinder and hang on. When the jolting and shaking stopped, my first surprise was that I was still alive. Then 5 shipmates showed up, and still thinking that the director had tumbled by itself, my first question was, "Where'd you guys come from?" Up to this time, I had draped a blanket around me and kept hopping from one foot to the other to keep my rubber boots loose from catching fire. We stretched the blanket out, and it helped a little against the heat. During this time, I had watched the Oklahoma turnover and the destroyer Shaw get hit. Then we saw a fellow not too far away on the Vestal, which was tied alongside, her bow to our stern, and we got him to toss a line to us. This force was very fortunate because the vessel had received two bomb hits. The bomb forward penetrated several decks and exploded among stores. The other one went through her after well deck and right on out through the bottom, so she was settling slowly by the stern. We didn't think the first line tossed us was suitable, so he, I learned later, Joe George, bent on part of her boat fall. Then one by one, six of us made our way to the vessel, which was soon helped to get underway and beach herself near Aia.
My name is James William Green. I was aboard the USS Arizona on December 7th, 1941. I was a gunner's mate, third class, and so my work area was turret 4 with three 14-inch 45 caliber guns. My sleeping quarters was the lower handling room. About 5 minutes to 8 in the morning, several men entered the room on the run, hollering, "We're being attacked by Japanese planes." At first, we thought they were kidding us, but the ship was hit by a torpedo, and then general quarters sounded, and we knew then we were being attacked. I hurriedly climbed the ladder to my battle station, where I was a tray man. During the attack, all of us in the gun chamber took turns looking out the turret's pointer and training openings, where we could see the Japanese planes as they passed by the ship after dropping their torpedoes or machine gunning their targets. We were increasingly nervous going through this ordeal for about an hour, with several bombs hitting the ship, when suddenly there was a terrific explosion, which raised the ship right out of the water, tossing us about in the turret. The lights and communications went out, and the men from the lower handling room and the shell deck came up into the gun chamber. At this point, the turret officer went out on deck and saw that the ship was sinking. The senior officer on the USS Arizona gave the order to abandon ship. Immediately, life rafts were put in the water, and we put several wounded men in motor launches to be taken to the hospital ship, the USS Solace. Others got into the remaining boats. The quarterdeck was about a foot above water when I jumped in and started to swim to the quay. I rested a short while there, and then I swam on to Ford Island. Here, a corpsman cleansed the oil from my eyes and bandaged a cut on my leg. The ship sank in about 9 minutes. A bomb had hit the forward powder magazine. The bomb did not go down the stack, as many history books have stated.
My name is Henry M. Cruz, and I was on board the Arizona on December the 7th, 1941. It started like this. I was up in the officer's pantry having a cup of coffee, and Mr. Fuqua, our lieutenant commander, the damage control officer, was standing there when we heard these loud noises. He looked out from the wardroom mess and asked me what was all the noise. And I said, "I don't know, but it sure is loud." Believe it or not, as we came out through the hatch, we almost got blown off the deck by the explosion. Lieutenant Commander Fuqua immediately ordered general quarters, and we found out later that our ship was the one that received the first bomb. I was on my way to my battle station by then, down a third deck up the forward magazine. I went down as far as I could get, but in the middle of it, the lights were going out, water pipes, oil lines were busting, and before I could even turn around, I was shoulder deep. The ship just kept exploding. I started to fight my way back up, and I heard people crying and praying, and I really didn't know who they were. I couldn't see anything or see anyone. I made it up to the second deck and got through the executive officer's stateroom and tried to get out. I tried several times, but the hatches were jammed, and every time the Nevada shot her guns, the vibrations would blow me back in. While I was trying to get through, I watched the Japanese plane shooting at guys swimming in the water with the flames on the surface burning, and guys that were trying to go down lifelines were also being shot at.
My name is John D. Anderson, Chief Boatswain's Mate, U.S. Naval Reserve of Roswell, New Mexico. I was a member of the 4th Division aboard the USS Arizona on December 7th, 1941. My twin, Delbert J. Anderson, was a boatswain's mate second in the 5th Division when the attack occurred. Delbert was a gun captain on a 5-inch 25 battery on the boat deck and did not survive. I was a number 4 turret. My recollection of the attack was an ordeal of fire and molten steel, explosions and blood. Exhibitions of courage and gallantry by my shipmates in trying to save our ship, man the weapons, and salvage the men who were so badly burned and wounded. I had just sat down for breakfast after the morning sweep down and rigging for church on the quarterdeck when a loud explosion occurred. The mess cook said, "Andy, there's a fire on Ford Island." I looked through the porthole and then dashed for the general alarm switch. But I was too late, The bombs came hurtling down, blowing us in all directions. I ran for my gun station. I got in under the gun pit, but the guns were without power. So all of my turret crew came piling out under the overhang to fire, blood, and carnage. Sailors tried to help the anti-aircraft crews, but the fire was too hot, and the explosions were so drastic. It was not possible to do anything but render aid to those we could reach, and then try to get them in a boat to shore. John Evans and I rescued Rupert and got him ashore. Now, these names stay with me. Courage was not a rare quality that day. Bill Guerin, Jim Green, Mike Pacetti, Delbert Anderson, Charles Otterman, Turkey Graham, John Evans, John Peel, Gaskins, Fuqua, Smith, Ratliff, Barth, and Shapley. Some of these men survived, and they all became heroes that day.
Hit by five torpedoes and innumerable aerial bombs, the Arizona split in two and sank to the bottom of the harbor in less than 9 minutes. Of her crew of 1,543 men, 1,177 were killed. Of these, 1,102 remain entombed in her decks. Every rank from rear admiral to seaman is represented in this tragic roll call. Rear admiral on board that morning was battleship division commander, Rear Admiral Isaac C. Kidd. Also on board were Captain Franklin Van Valkenburg, the ship's captain, and Captain Thomas L. Kirkpatrick, the first Navy chaplain to be killed in World War II. Fathers, brothers, husbands, sons, the loved ones of 1,000 families perished in these brief minutes of infamy. By now, all the world knew where Pearl Harbor is and who had attacked her. Some 27 hours after the 7:55 a.m. assault, war was declared. Islanders listened as President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, issued the proclamation.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
3.5 years later, the most devastating war in the history of the world was over. More than 1.25 million U.S. lives had been lost. Some 670,000 U.S. military personnel had been wounded. Scarcely a household in America had not suffered the loss of kin, friend, or neighbor. In Hawaii, the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific at Punch Bowl became the final resting place for 23,355 fighting men and women from the Pacific Theater. 17 years after the treacherous attack on Pearl Harbor, on Memorial Day, 1962, the Arizona Memorial was dedicated. Spanning the ship's sunken hull, the memorial's windows, 7 on each side and 7 on top, symbolize a continuous 21-gun salute, honoring the men officially buried at sea below. Considered by the Navy sentimentally in commission, the Arizona's flag flies at full staff. More than 1 million visitors a year come to Pearl Harbor to see the memorial, pay tribute to her heroic dead, and hear the story of December 7th.
Smith, Walter Tharnell, Petty Officer First Class, United States Navy. Sniff, JB, Corporal, United States Marine Corps. Sons.
The President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford.
We who remember Pearl Harbor will always remember. For us, it is a moment etched in time, a moment of shock and mixed feelings, and particularly disbelief, a moment of shame and a moment of sorrow, of anguish and of anger, an end to irresolution, a summons to action, the start of a total commitment that comes but rarely to men and to nations. Whoever watched the Pacific churn by winds of war comes to this hallowed place with feelings, with overcoming words. Our shipmates who rest in honor here, our comrade in arms who sleep beneath the waves and on the islands that surround us, need no eulogy beyond the eternal gratitude of the land that they loved. We who remember Pearl Harbor will never drop our guard, nor unilaterally dismantle our defenses. But we Americans must and will use our moral leadership and our material strength to bring the Pacific community and the world, little by little, year by year, closer and closer to real and reliable peace. We will hold our course for a peaceful Pacific, remembering that vigilance, the price of liberty, must be paid and repaid by every generation. We will keep faith with our past as we work to build a better world for our children and our grandchildren. I believe they will see peace come true and thank us, as we thank those fallen heroes we honor here today. Their duty is done. Let us do ours. Thank you and aloha.
Zimmerman, Fred, Petty Officer, Third Class, United States Navy. Zimmerman, Lloyd McDonald, Petty Officer, Second Class, United States Navy. Zoram, Michael Jr., Petty Officer, First Class, United States Navy.
Perhaps the most eloquent tribute to the men of the Arizona and all the honored dead of World War II is this simple inscription. Dedicated to the eternal memory of our gallant shipmates in the USS Arizona who gave their lives in action 7 December 1941. May God make his face to shine upon them and grant them peace.